Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
We are lucky again to have Steve Okun with us, the senior advisor at McLarty Associates, former member of the Clinton administration and political commentator, and he has had almost no rest over the past 3 weeks because everybody is asking him what he's thinking about what's going on. Steve, great to have you with us this morning yet again on Weekend Mornings.
Great to be with you, and I want a nickname like Otterman. That would be cool.
It has to be earned, Steve, yeah. Over many, many years of chasing, researching, and saving otters. It doesn't just happen overnight, you know.
It's not a
campaign man. Campaign man doesn't sound nearly as good as that.
Well, I was going to say political man.
Political man.
That might work. Anyway, okay. Hey, Steve, we are getting down to the wire here. Over 70 million people have voted already. What are the numbers telling us? Let's start with polls first. That's what everybody wants to know. Who's going to win, right? I get asked that about 7 times a day here in Singapore. What are the polls telling us right now about where it's close and what the splits are looking like?
Well, the polls are telling us that if it weren't for 2016, the debate would be, would Joe Biden win in a larger landslide than Ronald Reagan in beating Jimmy Carter in 1980, or a slightly smaller landslide? The numbers are all in Joe Biden's favor. They're in his favor nationally. They're in his favor in all of the states that he needs to win to get to that magic number of 270 electoral votes. So absent our experience in 2016, we would say a blue wave is coming that is going to sweep Joe Biden into the White House. That's going to sweep the Democrats into control of the Senate and may even increase their majority in the House.
Is that helped by the early voting? So many people. What's the thought process on that?
Well, let's look at the poll numbers first, and we'll talk about early voting. So if you look at the poll numbers, the magic number you want to hit in a poll is 50%. If you're up in a poll, but it's 48, 47, if you never get to that majority number, then it shows that your support is weak. And then on election day, and as we approach, the numbers could break one way or the other. Right now, Joe Biden is up more than 50% in Michigan. He's up 51-44. In Pennsylvania, he's up 53-46. In Wisconsin, he's up 51-42. If he wins those three states and all the Hillary states, he's president. And so he's looking extraordinarily good right now because of those numbers. Now, the early voting seems to be favoring the Democrats. And you can tell that because you can see when people request a mail-in ballot, are they a Democrat or a Republican? You know that. When a ballot gets returned, you know if it's a Democrat or a Republican returning. And so the numbers all show that Democrats are voting in much higher numbers. And the percent of those who have requested ballots, the Democrats are returning them at a higher rate than Republicans. So early voting certainly seems to be helping the Democrats right now.
Yeah, and Steve, latest figures that I've seen in close swing states, you mentioned Florida there and one or two others, there are also states that are seeing a surge in pandemic numbers in recent days and weeks. Now, I would guess, I mean, again, we're all predicting here, that would play into the hands of Joe Biden, I would have thought, that in these very close, tense, narrow states that can go either way and are often barometers for the election, surges in coronavirus figures. How does that play?
No, you're exactly right, Neil. And that's because what's happening is when you see a state get a surge in cases, and Wisconsin is a perfect example of that right now, what you see is the demographic that gets hit hardest by the coronavirus, seniors, just people 65 and up who are most at risk health-wise and also have to isolate and don't get to see their families, their grandkids, their friends. They're shifting from Trump to Biden. And so in all of those states that are going through surges right now, the 65 plus voters are moving towards Biden. And that's another reason it's shaping up to be a landslide for Joe Biden.
And following up from that, you're also seeing a surge in African-American voters. We know that African-Americans, both in the U.S. and the U.K., are high percentages of victims of coronavirus, ethnic minorities generally in that lower socioeconomic demographic. We're seeing a real surge in voters there, lots of political agitation encouraging the minority groups to get out and vote. Now, I know they traditionally tend to vote Democrat anyway, but are we seeing greater numbers of those groups going out and voting?
So far we are. And that was the key to why Trump won in 2016, is because there were 4.4 million people who voted for Barack Obama and Joe Biden who just stayed home instead of voting for Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine. Had those 4.4 million voted, I mean, Hillary Clinton would have won in a landslide, not only in the popular vote, but in the Electoral College, too. The Democrats are not taking for granted those voters anymore. And they are really targeting them with their messages, with their actions. And they do seem to be coming out to vote. Now, again, you're still at numbers where on Election Day, if a lot more Republicans come out and Democrats stay home, it could shift it back towards the Republican favor. But right now, the energy level you see is on the Democratic side in terms of voting and in terms of money and in terms of polling. There's nothing that shows that there's any energy level on Trump's side other than, 3,000-4,000 people showing up at airport rallies.
Yeah, we're with Steve Okun, the senior advisor of McClarty Associates, also known as Political Man. as of today on this show, you heard it here first. Steve, 4 years ago, I know it's a different scenario in many ways from 4 years ago, but where is the worry for Joe Biden? A late surge in voters showing up to the polls on Election Day? Already we've heard stories. I had a friend in Illinois who spent 4 hours in a line yesterday, Friday, right? Days before the election. So I would imagine even on Election Day, if people wait to go to the polls, it's going to be a real long slog for a lot of people. So all that to say, is that the possible scenario that Biden is not happy about, that there'll be a last minute rush of Republican voters that will put the numbers over toward Trump?
So you want everybody to vote. I mean, that's the whole point, is getting as many people to vote as possible. You don't worry about people coming out to vote. I'll just say one other thing where 2016 is different than 2020 is that there were a lot of undecideds up until the last minute in 2016. Nobody is undecided on Donald Trump right now, right? He's been president for 4 years. You like him or you don't like him. There's like, well, I don't know. How do I feel about Trump? I'm 50-50. No, nobody's 50-50 on Donald Trump. Now, well, I'll tell you where the Democrats are concerned. It's not how many people vote. It's ensuring that every vote gets counted, right? You're going to have mail-in ballots, and you're going to have these absentee ballots or mail-in ballots coming in 1, 2, 3 days late, which is allowed. But is Donald Trump, if he is up on election night and they haven't counted tens of or hundreds of thousands of votes, is he going to try and shut the countdown? Is he going to try and shut the countdown at that point and declare victory, even though all the legitimate ballots have yet to be counted? The biggest concern right now for the Democrats is making sure that every legal vote gets counted and that the process works and that we don't necessarily need to know who wins on election night. We need to know who wins when the Electoral College meets, and that's not until December.
Is there a possibility, Steve, that if the pollsters are correct, and trying to be optimistic here, if the pollsters are correct and the vote is so decisive that it puts the incumbent in a position where he can't contest the election result because the vote swing is just too big?
Well, Trump doesn't have the authority to contest it. It's really he has to get Republican governors or Republican state legislatures to do that. And look, it's clear that he is going to claim that the vote was rigged and that there was fraud. He did that in 2016. He did it in 2018. He's going to do it in 2020. The question is, and Neil, you're right. If Joe Biden wins clearly in Florida, is the Republican governor of Florida who has to run again, is he going to go against the voters in his own state? Is the Republican legislature in Pennsylvania, if Joe Biden wins clearly, two, three, 4 points, let alone more, going to go against their own voters? I really don't think so. Now, the scenario is like if it's tight and we're talking 1 point or less like we had last time. I mean, Donald Trump won 3 states, Pennsylvania, Michigan and Wisconsin by 0.8 or less. Then you can see this type of activity occurring. But I don't see how people will carry out Trump's orders when he loses in a landslide if that were to occur.
On that point, Steve, I've seen a lot of people being spoken to on the streets, on CNN, CNBC, various news agencies, with a similar point that after the election, they fear reprisals in the street, rioting, protests. We've all heard the famous quote from Donald Trump about the Proud Boys, stand back, stand firm, or whatever it is, stand ready. In other words, hinting that there should be some form of call it what you want, protest, call to arms, whatever. How legitimate are these concerns? Because if you listen to the average man or woman on the streets of America, they seem very concerned about what happens after the election, immediately after.
I mean, the concerns are legitimate. There's no precedent for this ever happening where you're going to have violence in the streets over an election. And look, one would hope, despite the rhetoric of the president, that the parties come together outside the president to make sure that doesn't happen one way or the other. I mean, Joe Biden has said he will accept the results of the election, you know, so long as all the votes are counted and it's fair and legitimate. Whether Donald Trump does that, unclear. But will governors do that? Will senators do that? They recognize, look, Donald Trump's going to be gone. In that scenario, Donald Trump's going to be gone in January. Do they want to tie their political life to him, or do they want to try and move the country forward? So, look, the concerns are legitimate. I don't have them. Of course, the three of us are sitting here in Singapore, and people in the U.S. feel a lot more anxious, I think, on this front than we do.
Yeah, Steve, we'll be sitting on Wednesday morning at the American Chamber of Commerce Election Watch Party. Do you think that we are going to know who the winner is by the end of that, by noon on Wednesday morning Singapore time?
I think it's going to be very close. This election is coming down to five states. If Biden wins Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, then it is basically over, because I don't think Donald Trump is going to take any of those Hillary Clinton states. So you take the Hillary Clinton states plus those three, and it's over. The other two critical states to watch for this election night decision is North Carolina and Florida, East Coast states. And if Biden can win one of those two plus the other three, then it's truly over. I think there's a better than 50-50 shot. We may not know by midnight, but we might know by the time we go to bed on Wednesday night that if in that scenario, we'll know if it's going to be Joe Biden. If it's going to be Donald Trump, we're not going to know, because the race is going to be so close and there's going to be recounts going on in multiple states.
Yeah. Steve, thank you so much. As always, thanks for your insight and input on this.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.